Blog Talk Radio.
Mayhaps I could have got away on beat for you catching me. You remember that. You remember that all, eh? You killed me. You remember that. You killed me. Because like you just proved what the Peckerwoods say. We're just beasts. Willing to do anything. Kill each other. No mind. No feeling.
Shut up, nigger.
Leastwise, I ain't gonna die like you gonna die. Like a slave. I ain't giving no lifetime of misery and sweat to this Peckerwood. I'd rather die than be a slave. You Peckerwood. That's right. You Peckerwoods was oppressed in your own land. We was free. And you brought us here. In chains. Well, now we here. And you just better know. This is just as much our land as it is yourn. And after you hang me, kiss my ass.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
You know, folks, we're going to have to get back into this Tarantino deal again, briefly. The captain and myself, along with folks from our inner sanctum, our personal crew, we went to see this movie again. I cannot stop thinking about Django Unchained. Matter of fact, to the annoyance of our dear friend Sally V, after the film, I put my shades on, and I looked at her, and I said, Afro Nerd, Unchained. Straight face, folks. Beware, Afro Nerd, Unchained. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. By the way, in homage of this great Tarantino work, that beginning clip was from Mandingo, which Tarantino unabashedly said influence this film. You can see it. It permeates the film. So we're going to touch on it again because, bottom line, I saw other things or more things in the film upon a second viewing. More symbolism, more connections, more answers to my questions, more Afro Nerd Unchained. All right, folks, enough of my foolishness. Quick groove, quick discourse. This is Keep On Looking by Sharon Jones of the Dap Kings. Folks, you know what to do. Let's groove.
Do right.
You know what, folks? I had to let that ride. I'm sorry. I had to let that ride. I was doing a combo, Harlem Shake, combo, the Dougie, and a combo cakewalk. It was rugged. You folks should have seen it because, again, consummate funk, consummate urban alternative, consummate black rock. This is what we're giving you. 2013, folks, the new order has begun. The new order has begun. Afro Nerd Unchained. Call in number 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, he's called the captain for a reason, because he is needed for this crew, for this enterprise, for this endeavor. Captain, it's your time. Let's get to it.
Hold me back, Sir Desmond. Hold me back. Hold me back. I know we have a modus operandi that we have to function under, but I want to get started right now with Django. I don't know if that's the best thing to do. You know, I give the floor to you. You go ahead. You go ahead, sir.
All right, folks, listen. I don't know if you are tired of us talking about this thing. It's only happening because I saw it once again. And I actually enjoyed it the second time around more, because you see more in the film. Damn Spike Lee. And I say that as a Spike Lee stan. Sincerely, I do. I supported this man's endeavors, and I will continue, but I supported them specifically in the 90s when he had his store in Brooklyn. I will give him a lot of credit for bringing back downtown Brooklyn. You can't even afford downtown Brooklyn, folks. You can't even afford downtown Brooklyn. Fort Greene is actually a place worthy of living in. Now, because Spike Lee was the forerunner for the change, when he opened up his Spike's Joint memorabilia store, you know, when you open up a major thing or something real funky in some of these inner city spots, more people will come. You know, the old saying, if we build it, they will come. That's exactly what happened in the case of Spike's Joint, and he should be applauded for that. Nevertheless, you cannot be an uninformed critic. I said this before on the last show. You cannot be an uninformed critic. So anyway, as I said at the top of the show, I saw this Django Unchained with a crew this time. The first time I saw it by myself, and sometimes I do see films by myself, because sometimes I need to be in my own head. I can't have disruptions. I have to be able to really, since we do what we do, and I want to, the captain and myself, we try to impart our knowledge, give you our personal thoughts on certain things. And I want to give it to you straight without chaser. So when I saw it again with friends, folks from the Inner Sanctum, shouting out Sally V, I saw this thing, and a lot more allegory was in there than I had ever thought. Mr. Tarantino is definitely a student of 1970s exploitation cinema. I saw Pierre Boulle in this movie. Pierre Boulle. Now, some of you may ask, who is Pierre Boulle? Pierre Boulle is a French author who wrote a book entitled Monkey Planet. Monkey Planet, or Planet of the Apes. In actuality, Planet of the Apes was retooled by the great Rod Serling. You know him from The Twilight Zone. And if you look back at the first Planet of the Apes, it definitely has a Rod Serling feeling to it. Matter of fact, all of the Planet of the Apes, even up until the recent one from a few years ago, the latest one, that has still Rod Serling's imprint on it. The whole surprise ending, the twisted kind of thing, that's a Rod Serling move. So anyway, how do you see Planet of the Apes in Django Unchained? Now, first of all, some folks are uncomfortable with any kind of simian analogy. when it comes to black folk, and rightfully so. But we have to be honest about what some of these films are about. Many of these films do have racial allegories attached to them. And it has been known for many years that Planet of the Apes, just as the X-Men, just as a number of science fiction fare, have racial overtones involved in them, or racial implications. So if you noticed, how the Leonardo DiCaprio character was fascinated by Django, fascinated by his intelligence. And I said, wait a minute, why is this guy so – he was almost enamored with that character. The characters were playing off of each other. He kept on referring to Django as bright boy, bright boy, bright boy. If you go back to the 1968 version, the first Planet of the Apes, where Charlton Heston was in this movie, and he was the main protagonist, the character, the female ape that was the scientist, Zira, I believe her name was, Zira, that character, kept on referring to Charlton Heston as bright eyes. And she also had that same quizzical look because she could not believe. Now, for those who are in the know, you have to know about the Planet of the Apes. It's a reversal of fortune. The apes are the intelligent, dominant species, and the humans are where apes would have been. Reversal role, dominant, submissive. One human comes along, the Charlton Heston character, the audience already knows that these humans are intelligent. They already knows it. But in this context, the apes are the superior or the dominant species. So Zero looks at Bright Eyes quizzically, almost enamored that he's so intelligent, he's so different. Bright Eyes, bright boy. Also, the actual landscape, the flatlands, even to the point where the slaves were captured in their cells, in horse-driven cells. They were the same horse-driven cells you saw in Planet of the Apes. So there's things going on there. And also the references to phrenology, the size of skulls, that went into Planet of the Apes also. The ape scientists were also talking about the sizes of human brains. It was a bunch of poppycock. And toward the end, the Django character even said, that phrenology stuff was a bunch of BS. Captain, there's a lot to go into still. Time is of the essence. What are your thoughts? And I'm going to go back into some other things, some other parallels I saw in this film the second time around.
Well, essentially what I want to talk about is the critics, and it seems that most critics, not all, we do not want to use blanket statements, they just miss the fact that this is not Amistad. Amistad was a slave story, slavery situation. This actually is a love story. Let me repeat that. This is a love story, and the backdrop is slavery. It's a love story that takes place during slavery times. That's really what's happening in this movie. And you don't hear a lot of people getting into that at all. They're talking about, you know, white against black. They're talking about, you know, this is the way, you know, this didn't happen on slavery. It's a love story. That's what makes Quentin really smart and a genius in this. The fact that everybody can get into love, whether you're a thug, whether you're a highly educated person, whether you're a lower tier white person, whether you're a stratospheric person, whether you're Asian, whether you're Latin, you don't understand love. Somewhere along your lifetime, most men went crazy for some woman. Somewhere along the line, you did some things, you say, wow, man, what was I doing? You were in love. You were in love. If Django Unchained is not in love, he doesn't really have any desire to do all of these things. So the reality of this is, this is not Amistad. Amistad was an entirely different situation. We knew what that was. Most of the people miss the fact that this is a love story. I don't really hear them talking about that aspect. They talk about the clothes and they talk about, well, he didn't really get this right. Slavery wasn't like this. It wasn't like that. You know, black people would not have shot up, you know, people like that. Why was he so good with the gun? All this type of nonsense type of stuff. You missed the point. As the great Daryl B would say, your opinion is wrong. Your opinions are wrong. Your opinions are wrong. It is a love story, my friends. It is a love story. It is a love story. A love story. And the low and the regular black person walking around, they say, oh, slavery this, slavery that. What do you really know about slavery, a lot of you? There's a lot of dates that you should know that you don't even know. A lot of people you should know that you don't even know. You know, Frederick Douglass, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King. You know, that's not slavery, though, dealing with, you know, Martin Luther King. Malcolm X. And his date, 1619, we can get into 1865, 1861. Average black person doesn't know anything about what I just mentioned. They don't know. They go, oh, what's that? Oh, you know? But they'll know about love, though. They'll know about love. And that's all I wanted to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yes, quickly, folks, once again, you're listening to the Midweek Edition or Midweek in Review Edition. For 2013, the first show for 2013 of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We're making this a somewhat shorter broadcast. Normally, we give you 90 minutes of fun, only about an hour this time, but we'll try to get as much as we can for your edification. Listen, more on Tarantino's work, shouting out Sergio Mims, friend of the show. Again, we would implore you to visit... I love his site. I'm over there quite a bit at Shadow and Act. Again, Shadow and Act, courtesy of IndieWire.com. Just simply Google Shadow and Act, and I see big things for his site, bigger things going into 2013. However, I was a bit disturbed by one of the writers over there, and this young lady is entitled to her opinion, Ms. Steele. She has almost 160, 170 comments thus far for her take on this piece of work, on Django. And I think she also said some stuff about Lincoln. Now I'm going to have to see Lincoln. Lincoln, that's Spielberg's work. Lincoln's work is far more didactic, far more straight ahead. It's less about fantasy. Less about fantasy. Quentin Tarantino's thing is definitely meant to be an homage to the spaghetti western, to exploitation films, that kind of thing. So, again, I've read excellent pieces over there. Sergio's is 99.9% on point. I'll give him 100. But I'll say, to be fair, let's say 99% on point. I've very rarely seen anything that had me look like, oh, what is he talking about? But this case, even some of the commenters responding to this young lady's review of Tarantino's work were wondering what movie did she see. She admitted that she was a student under Spike Lee. So I don't know if that's muddled some of her thoughts. But she seemed to think that the filmmaker himself had certain thoughts that he was putting out there in the film, that these were his personal thoughts. Like she said, if I'm interpreting her correctly, she said that he thought that Africans were of lesser intelligence. That he thought that. But the movie disproves that. I don't know where she's going with this thing. And many people, matter of fact, there's one commenter that I have to commend. A 57-year-old commenter, and she said, let us have this one as a woman. She even brought out something I didn't even think, because I'm a man. The 57-year-old woman, a woman of maturity, a commenter on Sergio's site had said, let us have this one. We finally saw, let me bask in this, because we saw a black woman be a damsel in distress. We rarely see black women coveted and being fought over and being fought for and being the damsel in distress. So this movie is a lot more layers to it that I think Miss Steele is missing. And again, she's entitled to her opinion, so I'm not going to browbeat her so much, but I just felt like she took things literally. And the movie is all about allegory. It's all about allegory and analogy. There's no way you could see things. I'm looking at 10 or 15 different things in this movie, and she seemed to look at things literally. Like, he really meant that the whole phrenology thing, that's how he really feels. No, because he went into the phrenology thing, the character comes back and takes it away. The racist characters put forward their crazy beliefs, then Tarantino masterfully smacks it back down. That is the movie. She's making it seem as if this is how we really feel. I'm like, what is this? All right, our friend, you're going to have to keep this a tight broadcast, by the way, Serge, before, when I bring you in. You're going to keep it tight. So say your piece, and then we're going to move along. So we're going to end up being Django.com. But we had it. We couldn't stop talking about it, so we wanted to talk a little bit more. So I'm going to bring in Mr. Mims. I believe this is him. Serge.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I know. I got to keep this short. I do want to say in regards to Tanya Steele's article, we have a diversity of opinion on the site. And, you know, the thing about it is that she saw the film and she had an opinion about it. I wrote one of the first reviews. I gave an unqualified rave for it. Tembe, about a few days later, after he saw it, he wrote a review in which he was more mixed. And then you have Tanya Steele. That's all good. I love movies like this in which people talk about it. Instead of seeing a movie and you're going like, well, it was okay. If you don't like it, fine. You don't like it. Unlike, don't criticize the film if you haven't seen it, unlike someone.
You have a point.
But, right. I mean, that's perfectly fine. I personally didn't agree with what she said, but that's okay. Everybody has their own opinion. There are people who really don't like the picture. Black people don't like the picture. I have main theories about why they don't, and I think it has more to do with the filmmaker than the movie.
I think so, too.
You're right. I think it's clearly all about the filmmaker. If you don't like Tarantino, just say you don't like Tarantino. A lot of people don't like him. Just say it. Don't say, well, because the movie used the N-word 110 times. Well, like I said, in Bamboozled, it's used 58 times. So you don't have a problem with that? That's okay. Tony Steele has her own opinion. That's fine. It's all a mix. We got a piece right up now. An occasional commenter by the name of Andre C. Wood. He's written a very analytical piece on Spike Lee, in which he feels that Spike Lee has, you know, it has lost his edge, his game. And some people agree with him. A lot of people do not agree with him. That's okay. It's all good.
Well, you know what, sir? Listen, as I said, respectfully, she is entitled to opinion. And you're right. I guess it does make for an excellent sort of exchange on your site. So I have to commend you for that. I didn't really look at it from that perspective. But you are right. You can't have everybody on the same page. I guess maybe because I like the movie so much, but I don't even mind when people take shots at something that I like. But it just seemed like certain things she was looking at, it seemed like she took things literally. Like the way she thought that the filmmaker's personal thoughts were in the movie, that he actually felt that that blacks were of a certain intelligence. That's just a philosophy put out there that the racist, he was speaking in the racist voice. Then there was somebody else comes along and smacks that back down. It seemed like she didn't get the symbolism too tough. That's what I had a problem with. It seemed like she looked at a different movie. I mean, that's the way it is.
And you see the comments. Some people, I would say the majority of people disagree with her. I think slightly have disagreed with her. There are some people who do agree with her. You know, when I saw, what's the movie? Beast of the Southern Wild. I said, man, this is one of the best films of the year. Oh, my God, this film is incredible. Then, what's her name? The intellectual, Bell Hooks.
Bell Hooks wrote
a piece attacking a movie, equating it with child pornography. And you're like, what the hell is she talking about?
Actually, we had one of our friends, David Walker, he liked the movie, but he called it pornography also. But he called it porn.
See, I don't understand that. You know, and we posted that interview. I mean, I'm sorry, we posted that review because we saw it was so fascinating. And there were people who violently disagreed, or most people did, but there were people who actually agreed with her. There were people who didn't like that film. I suspect the real reason they didn't like the film because it dealt with poor black people. And, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, why couldn't it have been lived? How come they didn't live in, you know, suburban Atlanta, you know, or something like that, you know. But it was about a particular time in a particular place and a particular set of people, you know. So there you go. Everybody has opinion about everything.
One quick thing, and again, we're going to always shout out your site, Serge. One thing that was distressing me, and I want to bring this around the horn for the captain and yourself, and then we're going to have to move along. I thought about this afternoon. I don't know what the Oscar buzz is on this thing. I don't know what it is. But it left me in a quagmire. Because as I thought about it, we're going to come up against a thing again. I said to myself, I want this movie to be nominated, but part of me doesn't want it to be nominated. And I'll tell you why. Sam Jackson is deserving of an Academy Award for his portrayal as Steven. Definitely. Masterfully done. But if he gets an award, what will he be getting an award for? For playing an Uncle Tom. That puts me in a quagmire. Then we're going to fall into, if he wins the Academy Award for playing an Uncle Tom, that will be a common meme with what the Academy Awards gives black people awards for. So I don't know how to lay it. Now, I wouldn't be upset if Jamie gets it because he was the hero. But any time we play maids, now Uncle Tom's, and he would also be a butler, it's going to be – I don't know. I don't know if I want to see that again. I don't know.
Well, you see, here's the thing. I'm not sure this film's going to get much of nominations at all. I'm not sure. And the reason for that is because it's too controversial. They don't like controversial movies. They like safe movies. They like Les Mis. They like Lincoln. They like even though the film has gotten some controversy, Zero Dark Thirty. They like safe movies. This movie is too controversial, not only in terms of the violent aspect, the violence in the movie, but also in terms of, you know, the whole racial dynamic that's going on in the picture. They may not touch it. Now, Tarantino probably may get maybe a best director. He may get best screenwriter. I would say he's probably a lock for best original screenwriter. I would see DiCaprio getting a nomination ahead of Jackson, but I'll be really surprised if it gets any kind of like a lot of major Oscar nominations. It's just too hot to handle.
Wow. All right, Serge. Listen, as always, we got to move
right
along. I figured I throw
right
it out there.
Very good.
Thank you, Serge.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Listen, Captain. What are your thoughts? And then we're going to go to a quick musical break, and then we're going to move on to another more subject matter.
No, Sergio answered exactly how I was going to answer. I don't think it gets really nominated. I don't think it does.
Wow. That's going to be
– because the,
that's
going to
be
Oscars,
a crime.
When you're dealing with that, it's all politics. It's all politics. It has to come in the right way. It has to be packaged the right
way. But you know what?
And it's not packaged the right way.
There's so many major players, Captain, with some masterful performances, man. Masterful.
But the Oscars is not so much about that. So it's a political thing. It's a
Christoph Waltz brought his A game. Leonardo brought his A game. Sam Jackson and Jamie brought the A games.
It has to be packaged right for the Oscars. That's what it is.
Wow.
With the Oscars.
Then they're being a bunch of phony then.
Of course it is.
I mean, I guess so, but, you know. They were not being real, obviously. All right, let's go to a quick musical groove. When we get back, more discourse. Folks, you're listening to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. This is Reverb by Soul Live. Reverb by Soul Live. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. ¶¶ Again, that was Reverb by Soul Live. Reverb by Soul Live. And listen to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620, giving you the best of urban alternative, black rock, afro-punk, acid jazz, progressive hip-hop, you name it, we'll play it, but it's probably not going to be for conventional ears. All right, listen, you know what? Actually, I lied about something. I don't lie, but I mean to be jocular. Still more Django stuff, but it's going to be tangentially connected. I came across a clip of Dr. Boyd Watkins discussing Django with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, Mr. Louis Farrakhan, and I thought that it might be of interest to our audience to hear the minister's thoughts on this film. Now, of course, he went deeper into this as far as it possibly being some kind of conspiratorial connection. I don't know. But some things, he said, have a grain of truth to them. So we'd like to give you as much information as we can. So I thought it was interesting that the minister saw Django and had his thoughts. So if I can find this clip, I need to be a bit more timely with this stuff. Sorry, folks. It's around here somewhere. Okay. All right. Again, folks, Mr. Farrakhan on Django. Hold on.
So now, as I went to see the movie, a white woman coming out of the movie said to her husband, "I won't be able to eat tonight." The effect of that on white people is different from the effect on black people. Black people could sit there and remember his words, "I am one in 10,000. He played his part. And when they asked him about the word nigger that was used so much, I think about 110 times, he said, "Well, you know, I had a chance to work off my frustration, you know." He was killing all these white folks. Well, how does a white person see that? How do white people who feel the guilt of what their fathers have done to us, how do they feel? Do you think that they don't think that if black folk had a chance to do to them what they have done to us? That's what the movie is saying, that 1 out of 10,000 will be like that, and maybe more. So to me, I loved his part. He played it well. Samuel Jackson, he played his part well. I mean, if I were a Tom sitting in the theater, I mean, he played Tom to the max. So a lightweight Tom would want to get out of being a Tom just looking at the way he played Uncle Tom. DiCaprio, he played the white man jam up. And those that were killing us and beating us and all of that, look, this was out of the past, but there are white people right now shooting black men down. I'm not talking about us killing each other now. I'm talking about white police, white people killing us at a rate that was even greater than the lynching. At a time, there was one lynching every 4 days. Now one black man dies in America at the hands of white people every 3 days. So to me, the movie had a purpose. And if a black man came out of that movie thinking like Django, and if white people came out of that movie seeing the slaughter of white people, and they are armed to the teeth, it's preparation for race war.
Wow. You know this.
All right. Folks, you can definitely go to YouTube. It's about an 18-minute clip, actually, so I can only give you about 3 or 4 minutes because of our time constraints. But again, that was Minister Louis Farrakhan talking about his viewing of Django Unchained, and he went a little deeper into the allegory analogy and brought up some conspiratorial talk. I'm not so sure. I will say this. The captain said that he felt somewhat superheroic. I started spouting off Afro Nerd Unchained to Sally's chagrin. It is what it is. You do feel empowered a little bit when stuff goes down. And to the critics, I'm going to leave it on this point, sort of, because we got to talk about the Uncle Tom thing. There's another controversy brewing with this Uncle Tom Steven character that Sam Jackson plays. But I'm going to say one thing, and I said it before, and I will say it again. For the critics, what do you want? Mr. Tarantino served up the bullets, dipped them in hot sauce, gave you the gun, and allowed you to pump some hot lead into the buttocks of these racists for your viewing pleasure. Never saw that before. Haven't seen that in a while. On the other hand, many of you are used to black men in dresses, effeminate situations, crass humor. I don't know. I'd rather go the Tarantino route than see some of us in dresses, men in dresses. Just a thought. Speaking of thoughts, any thoughts of your own on this, Captain, with what the Mister was talking about?
Well, they say America. A lot of people have said this. You know, William Cooper, the writer of Behold the Pale Horse, and a few other writers. America is supposed to devolve down into race riots. I don't know when we're going to get there, but that's what they say. You know, despite everything else, despite what's happening with all the interracial dating, you know, the black president getting, you know, elected and everything, that's what they do say. So time will tell. That's all. That's all. Time will tell.
All right. Now, there's another controversy. Actually, I have to shout out Sergio again because I happened to, one more time, I was perusing his site, Shadow and Ad, and he had a story about a writer for the Boston Globe, Mr. Wesley Morris. Mr. Morris wrote a glowing review of Django Unchained. Okay, fine. But then he takes out the knife and twists it a little bit by likening the quote-unquote House Negro slash Uncle Tom character, even though Uncle Tom is really an unfair name to use. Because Uncle Tom, as a literary character, was not the Uncle Tom as far as the meaning of Uncle Tom today. Uncle Tom actually helped slaves. So we actually use Uncle Tom in public discourse. We use the term Uncle Tom unfairly. Anyway, Mr. Morris goes in. He's talking about the movie, but he has to bring in his own twist, something I'm uncomfortable with. He says, I'm going to try to find it specifically because I don't want to mince any words, but he does liken the Stephen character. Stephen is the name of the character that Samuel L. Jackson plays, who is the quintessential House Negro slash, for the sake of this conversation, Uncle Tom. He likens the Uncle Tom character to black conservatives. Out of the blue. Okay, this is what he says here. He knows what the stakes are and keeps finding clever ways to raise them. They don't get much higher or lower, perhaps, than Stephen, the head servant at the Candy Mansion. He gets a load of Django, turns defensive, then smells a rat. Samuel L. Jackson plays a crusty, waxen Stephen as a vision of depraved loyalty and bombastic jive that cuts right past the obvious association with Uncle Tom. The movie is too modern for what Jackson is doing to be limited to 1853. He's conjuring the House Negro, yes, but playing him as though he was Clarence Thomas or Alan Keyes or Herman Cain or Michael Steele, men whom some black people find embarrassing. Oh, boy. It's like shooting ducks from a barrel, Captain. This is why Afro-Nerd is really necessary. He says, well, first of all, these gentlemen, respectfully, are individuals. They're different even though they're all black Republicans. Okay? If black folks don't want to be referred to as the blacks, shouting out Donald Trump, or even Ann Coulter, who says, are blacks, or the blacks. If you don't like that, then don't say the black. Don't use the term black conservatives, and just have a big brush against all black men who call themselves conservatives. I am a conservative as well. I'm a moderate conservative, but I would consider myself different. Many would probably consider me a rhino, a Republican in name only. But beyond that. How is it that he says that some black folks, well, I wouldn't doubt the and some black folks probably do find these men embarrassing if they don't know what they're looking at. I don't find these men embarrassing. I'm sorry. I don't know how you could arrive at that. Michael Steele was the head of the Republican Party for a brief time. He was also Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. He's an attorney. He's a well-educated, highly esteemed black man who happens to be of a conservative bent. Okay? Clarence Thomas is on the Supreme Court. He's a Supreme Court justice. I mean, I can go on and on. Herman Cain, successful businessman. Alan Keyes, a scholar. These are tight black men, whether you like their point of view or not. They simply don't agree with the hegemony that's spouted by many black folk. They just don't agree. Now, to bypass all the minstrels, Captain, let me tell you something else, the listening audience. I have a pretty good memory when I take my ginseng. And I remember in 2008 when Master Barack Hussein Obama, and I'm not saying Hussein as a pejorative, Barack Obama, now our president, when he was running, a lot of high-profile progressives, Captain, they weren't towing the party line with this gentleman. I saw this young man and said, oh, wait a minute, he's tight, his lyrics are on point, he's an excellent representation, what? Give him a shot. Give him a chance. No. Bob Johnson, former president of BET, said some very disparaging things against Barack Obama. Reverend Sharpton had said something to the effect of, he's from Hawaii. He went to Harvard. What kind of black guy is this? See, now he's on Team Obama. But he wasn't always that wasn't always the case. Former mayor of Atlanta and also the ambassador to the UN. Now my memory is going now. Andrew Young, again, you can look this up, said some very nasty things about President Barack Obama. Reverend Jackson wanted to cut the man's testicles off on public television. Now, these are the progressive black folks. No one's calling them embarrassing. So let me get started on the Chris Browns and lower tier folks out there that routinely spout off on Twitter, I'm a real nigga. I'm a real nigga. Pardon me. You have a whole slew of embarrassing black folks. They have blogs that are dedicated to them, shouting out gossip and media takeout, shouting them out. I can go to Captain. I can't even stop. You can go to your plaintiffs or your defendants on any court show on midday television, on afternoon television. You can go to your talk shows. You can go to your reality shows. All those folks are less embarrassing than a former lieutenant governor, a Supreme Court justice, and a business person, and a scholar. I don't get it. This is what I mean by being intellectually dishonest. We're going to have a diversity of opinions, folks, as black people. We cannot all ride the victimization train. I'm sorry. My stop is next. I'm getting off of it now. My stop is next, Captain. I'm getting off of it now. This is ridiculous. This man says this, the same old hot talk that gets some of you black folks excited. Where's my Halle Berry clip? Where's my Halle Berry clip, Captain? Make me feel good. Make me feel good. Now, we don't give you the make me feel good talk. We give it to you straight with no chaser. And the numbers are showing some of you are getting it. Because the truth is what it is, Captain. The truth is what it is. You can disagree with the gentleman You have a right to disagree with them, but you can't call them Uncle Toms and make connections and talk this slick stuff, and then without there being any kind of rebuttal. This is embarrassing. That we all have to be the same. I'm not going over the precipice with the rest of some of you lower tier Negroes. No, I'm not. Sorry, I'm not. And I doubt the captain is as well. Captain, any thoughts?
More and more when I read these type of articles, I think sometimes the writers just throw things in their articles just to elicit a response. It's not a fair comparison, even though, as I always say, fairness is the illusion of the weak to protect you from the strong, to no avail. When you have power, you do what you want. But that being said, most people do believe in fairness. This is just totally off base, as far as I'm concerned. So my opinion is right, and the writer of this article, their opinion is wrong. And that's just what it is. This is just totally off base. Your opinion is wrong. Your opinion is wrong. Maybe the writer here really didn't see the movie, like how they said they saw the movie also. Got to be careful, too. You know, remember now Sergio Mims, you know, hinted, you know, dropped a little line to us, said you have some of those type of people that just make statements, and they never saw the movie, you know. Samuel Jackson's character is so far removed from these particular individuals. It's not a close comparison. He's seeing something entirely different from what I'm seeing.
But you know what? If they want to take out the metaphorical knife, that's what it is. He took out the knife to try to get some shine, and that's exactly what he did. Now we know who Mr. Morris is, and a lot of shine has been given toward his article, and that might be what it really is about.
Yes.
Many of these columnists, truth be told, email you and I consistently to put their articles on AfroNerd.
That's true.
So they're trying. You know, I've received calls from CNN personally. CNN has called AfroNerd to say, "Hey, can you mention this on your site?
This is true.
That's the way it is. So they're desperate for any kind of attention. And to take out this knife and to jab these four individual black men of a conservative bent is unfair. But there's some slickness in this. But to call these men really embarrassing after all the fools that are out here. Listen, we have a pretty much a codified fool business. We have a fool business. All my baby's mamas are coming to Oxygen in a few weeks, I think. All my baby's mamas.
Oh,
that
word.
Rapper that has 11 kids with 10 different women, and his latest girlfriend is as old as his oldest children. That's not embarrassing. Come on.
You laugh with that.
It's crazy. Because it's crazy. I hate the fact that I can dismantle much of this BS, Captain. Somebody has to come out here and start dismantling this. Matter of fact, real soon, probably by next Sunday show, I'm gonna play some clips of some modern day minstrels for you people. Because you don't know what's going on out here, obviously. Or you're being delusional, or you have your eyes closed and your ears closed off. I'm going to play some minstrel clips for you of what passes for black entertainment and what passes for black enlightenment.
And also
Mr. Harvey, the microscope is on you.
And also
Odido.
What passes.
Odido. Odido. As opposed to hold the door. Odido. Odido. That is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing black people in the modern era, Captain, speaking as if they just got wind of the Emancipation Proclamation, that they just got wind of it. O-de-do, O-de-do, Captain.
Yes, and also what passes for, what you're supposed to be proud of. since you're going to have a problem with these type of individuals. These are the individuals you are supposed to be proud of. And if you're not proud of these menstruals, then you, as a black person, you have a problem. You are sick. You have a temperature. You have the influenza. The influenza is called intelligence, my friend. There you go.
IB, TB, UB. This is what is on regular rotation every day in black media and on black radio. But that is not embarrassing. I got something for you folks on Sunday. I got something for you folks on Sunday to remind you, because you're not paying attention. That's what we're here for. The captain and myself, we're going to pull out some of this stuff and really find the embarrassing black folks. Okay? Since you want to pull cards out, I'm going to pull some cards out and play some clips of some true embarrassment for you as a reminder. All right, Captain, time for us to head on out. Do it again on Sunday. It's been an absolute pleasure. We had a short show, unfortunately. Any closing thoughts before we get on up out of here, Captain?
No, we do it again this Sunday, first with the comic shop. Daryl B. will be back. Is that correct?
That's correct.
As of right now, he's back. So Sunday at 6, and then at 7, we do the Afro Nerd segment. See you all then.
Sounds good. All right, let's give you some classic hip-hop. Heavy D, the late Heavy D, Somebody for Me. See you on Sunday.
fall of the day.